We're providing you that Wednesday night activities are canceled this week because of the Chautauqua Festival. Hope you have some time to go to that. I would encourage you, Dan and I are not going to be able to be there tonight because our brother's coming into town sometime late this afternoon. Natalie Drummond and her daughter and son are singing tonight at 7:15. And if you have not heard them, I've heard her daughter, I've heard her, I have not heard her son. I met him. I understand he's incredibly accomplished. If you have not heard them sing, they will be, I believe, on the main stage tonight at 7:15. And it will be worth going and listening to. Natalie is the pastor of West End Methodist Church, but she was a minister of music for a long time before she became a pastor. So it would be worth your while if you wanted to attend something, to attend that tonight. I believe it's a gospel thing, the three of them. The other thing I want to mention to you is we started this morning with an introduction to the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John at 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Next week we will be looking at 1st John chapter 1 at 9 o'clock. I would encourage you to be here for that. We're going to start stepping through the letters of John, and then we'll see where we go from there. But Wednesday night we will not have activities here. Today we're looking at a passage from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Listen to these words. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on a hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off. And reporting this to the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for me. In one way, I hope you recognize there's a strangeness to this story. And part of the strangeness of the story is that this man wants to follow Jesus, And Jesus won't let him. So we're going to look at that today. He says, no, you can't go with me. And that kind of seems to go against some of the things that Jesus says all the time. Because Jesus says what? Follow me. Go with me. Walk with me. I will teach you. I will help you understand. And in this case, he says, no. Not allowed to. Well, let me tell you the story about the man a little bit first. You see, this man has many demons within him. We find out as we go into the story that the name of the demons, I'm going to use plural here, is Legion. And that means that there may be 5,000 to 6,000 demons within this man. Because a legion in the Roman army was 5,000 to 6,000 men. So an overabundance of demons possessed this man. And the town has known this, and they understand this, and they have found a way to take care of this man. Now, I know you might disagree with the way they've taken care of this man, but they have found a way to control and take care of this man. They have chained him up. They have put him out amongst the tombs. The demon, the town has a demon-possessed man that's under control in a way. And that brings him comfort. You see, they put guards on him. They chained him up. They put him out in the cemetery where, do you know our tombs are whitewashed? It's not so much because they look beautiful. It's because they were meant to get them to stand out because it's an unclean place for Jewish people to be. So it stands out against the background so that you wouldn't accidentally go there. That's why tombs were whitewashed. And this man is among these whitewashed tombs because he has been classified by the town as unclean. Which is true. 5,000 to 6,000 demons within him. I can't imagine what that would be like for that man. Nor can I imagine what it would be like for his family. Imagine, ladies, that he was your husband. Imagine that he was your father. Or an uncle or a cousin. And the town has found a way to control the situation. They need to put guards on him to make sure that he doesn't get back into town. And I want you to understand, this brings them comfort by what they've done to this man. This brings them comfort because we put him off. He's not in and amongst us. And we don't have to worry about him interacting with us. We're keeping him away from everyone. And I want to emphasize this comfort thing and this control thing. Because that's not what Jesus is going to be about here in a minute. Jesus meets this man and he asks the demon, what is your name? I hope you recognize that the demon knew who Jesus was. It says that this man fell at his feet. It's not the man speaking now, but the demon. And the demon says, what do you want with me? And look at what he says. He says, Jesus, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Nobody else in the story so far has recognized who Jesus is. We're going to find out the town people don't. But the demon does. Or the legion of demons do. They recognize who it is. This is Jesus, Son of the Most High God. And he's spoken out loud. And then what does the demon say? I beg you, don't torture me. Now, in the midst of that, the demon recognizes that Jesus has more power than the demon has. And the demon begs. I want you to remember that word. There's control, there's comfort, and the demon begs, don't torture us. And it says that Jesus cast out the multitude of demons, and the man becomes in his right mind. Now, I'm skipping way down through the story because I want us to see something different than just this man being healed. Jesus cast out the legion of demons. They asked the demons, can we go into the swine herd? Now, for those of you that love pork, you are watching the swine or herd run off over the cliff and drown in the lake to your great dismay, because you love bacon and sausage and ham. A whole herd of them ruined. For those of us who are allergic to pork, it's a happy sight. Haven't always, for those of you that don't know, I haven't always been allergic to pork, but I am now. And trust me, I love to watch them run over the cliff now and all around. But you see, the demons were so concerned about being tortured. They were so concerned about being sent back to the abyss. And I'm thinking the abyss is a place of great darkness. The abyss is a place where God does not exist. Love and compassion is not there. Torture and torment is there. And the demons don't want that. Now, can you imagine what the swine herdsmen felt as they watched this man be healed, cured, and they watched their herd of swine go over the cliff? Sometimes we need to step into the shoes of the people there, because this is most likely their livelihood. Also, I want you to understand geographically, as it's explained, these are probably not Jewish people. These are Gentiles. Jewish people wouldn't be keeping a herd of swine. But geographically, it's probably one of the towns of the Decapolis, which is the 10 towns that form together into a government on the east side of the Galilee. So it's probably one of those towns. Well, as the swine herdsmen see this happen, what does it say they do? They run off to town to tell everybody what has happened. And the whole town comes back to see what has happened. And they find this man clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Could you imagine what that might have been like? Maybe for years, and maybe even for decades. The people knew who this man was. They knew that he lived out amongst the tombs. They knew that he was possessed. They knew that they didn't want him in town. They had found a way to control the whole situation. And it brought them some comfort. And now they come and see that this man is completely in control of himself. And it says that he's in the right mind again. So that means there must have been some people in town that knew him before the demon possession. Could you imagine his wife coming? Could you imagine his children coming and seeing their father in his right mind again? The story doesn't tell us about that. But he had to have a family. at least a mother and father, if they were still alive. Could you imagine them coming and seeing their son in his right mind again? How joyous and incredible was that? You see, the people who were about control, not healing, they feared this new power. And they asked Jesus to leave. I know some of you are sitting there going, why'd they ask him to leave? This is about control, folks. They found a way to control the demon-possessed man. They found a way to control the whole situation. We'll chain him up. We'll put him out amongst the tombs. We'll put a guard on him so he can't get back into town. They weren't about getting him healed. They were about controlling the situation so they felt comfortable. And Jesus came and did a healing. Now, if I found a way to control a legion of demons, and that legion of demons leaves this man, then that power must be greater than the legion of demons. Do you agree with me? Must have been more powerful. They don't understand who Jesus is. Now there is a more powerful power here than there was in the demon. And they found a way to control that situation. And now they're afraid they can't control this more powerful power. Can't do it. So they asked Jesus to leave. Do you see the situation? It's not probably just because they lost their herd of pigs. It's because this Jesus, whoever this is more powerful than what we could control. Now we're scared. Now we don't know what to do. Please leave. Jesus doesn't bring any teaching. He doesn't help them understand who he is. It says that he gets in a boat to leave and go back across the lake. Because the people didn't want to interact with him. They didn't want to believe who he was. All they knew is that if he could control and cure this man, heal this man, he must have more power than what they could. And we don't know what he's going to do to us. Well, it's obvious to me that the man realized who Jesus was. Whether it was through what the demon had said and the man heard it, whether it was through the action that Jesus carried out by casting out the demon, whether it was by talking with some of the disciples that were around, it says this man's in his right mind now. And he knows who Jesus is now. And he says that anybody that can save me from this legion of demons, I want to spend all my time with you. Would you not want? I'm willing to say that some of us have things that bug us. If not, I'll share. I got more things bugging me than I need, and I'll gladly share with you if you don't have anything bugging you. I can describe to you the whole situation that bugs me sometimes, and I'll let you carry it off. Trust me, I'll let you. But think about what happened. When you meet Jesus and all those those things are cured. Not just controlled, but healed. That you don't have to spend time worrying about it all the time. That it doesn't bug you at every moment. And I've had to learn how to do that in my life. It doesn't bug me. And I had to learn how to don't feed it again. I wonder how many times this gentleman fed the legion of demons. Because I think he probably did sometimes. And caved in to what the legion was trying to do to him. And now he found someone who could heal him, who could cure him, who got rid of all the demons that were bugging him. I have no problem understanding that this gentleman said, I want to be with this person the rest of my life because you cured something that nobody thought could happen. And I don't want to be out of your presence. Imagine his hurt. Because what does it say? It says that the man begged Jesus. Can I go with you? When a man begs to follow Jesus, he's told to stay there and tell about what God did for him. You see, do you remember the word beg earlier in the story? Who else begged? The demon begged, don't torture me. Don't send me back to the abyss. Now the man's begging, and Jesus looks at him and says, no. He basically says this, I need you to be here and to tell other people how powerful God is. And what God has done for you. That's what I need you to do. Return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and he told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. What a witness! What a witness. Say he was tied up for 15 years. You were born 15 years ago, and for 15 years you've heard stories about this guy living out amongst the tombs, and then he's possessed with demons, and now all of a sudden he's in town telling you he's not anymore. And he's explaining to you what God did for him. Can you imagine that kind of impact? Because I'm sure the people in town talk about it. Because humans have a tendency to talk about people that don't act right. Not church people, humans. Right? Sometimes we talk about people that don't act right. Can you imagine that person that doesn't act right coming and being present and saying, here is what God has done for me. You may not realize it, but that's who's standing in front of you. I've told you many times, my wife did not marry a pastor. She married a shipyard worker that didn't have the best of mouths, nor did the best of things. And if you want more details, I'll be glad to give you more details. And Jesus Christ saved me. And Jesus Christ cast off many demons that were bugging me. And part of the reason I'm telling you that is because we need to tell this town. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go out and tell my story. You gotta come see the poor person that's our pastor. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to be here in this town and let people know what God can do. It's very easy for us to be here, have the doors open, have the lights on, and go, why don't people come? And sometimes I wonder, maybe they don't come because we don't tell them how powerful God can be. We don't tell them what God... So it's not that we need to go somewhere else. We need to tell people where we are, what God has done for us. We need to let the people know that we live around what God has done for us. The people that we work with, the people that we see at the bank, at the grocery store, at the gas station. We need to let them know what God can do. Because, see, humans are about controlling a situation. So that I feel comfortable that I can control that. But God's about healing it. God's about curing it. And we need to let people know that that's possible. Saddest thing for me that happened in my life is that nobody told me about salvation in Jesus Christ until I was 18, almost 19. Took me about another year to get it. But somebody had finally told me. I grew up next door to the two people that went to church every week. They never told me about Jesus Christ. Now, I think the world of them, because they taught me a lot of stuff about life and about growing up and being a responsible person, when it kept me out of a lot of trouble. Well, why didn't they ever tell me about Jesus Christ? That was a neighbor I was very close to. And I kind of wonder, are we doing the same? Hoping that the people around us will get it by watching us. Instead of by letting them know what God can do. How God can change things. How God can heal things. How God can help people. We need to be telling them, folks. That's why Jesus would not let the man go with him. Because his witness would be incredible in town. Because they knew who he used to be. And you see a changed man by the power of Jesus Christ. Probably can affect somebody's heart. Maybe not everybody's, but somebody's. So I ask you, are you being a witness for God and God's power in our town? Are you being a witness here? Because that's what God means. Is witnesses that are right here telling people you need to know about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, the truth is you've given us the task to be co-creators with you in this world in such a way that we let people know how incredibly powerful you are. And how much you're not about controlling situations to bring comfort. But you're about healing situations to bring joy and excitement. Lord, many may never believe you if I were to tell the stories of who I used to be. Because I think back over it, and many of us can think back over those things. God, you healed us from so much. You saved us. You cured us so that we could tell other people how to be cured, how to be healed, where to find food. So Lord, help us to open our lives to other people. As you asked this man, go back home and tell the people all the wonderful things that God has done. Lord, may we be people doing the same. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.